Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Quick Slants with Bethel University head football coach Steve Johnson. Quick Slants is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Bethel coach questions about the Royals, football or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the upcoming game against Hamlin. He tells us what he expects from next year's team and what stories in the Bible do inspire the coach. Let's find out on Quick Slants.
Let's welcome back Coach Johnson this week. Coach, do you have team updates you'd like to share with us?
I'm doing pretty good. We're getting a little bit more healthy. One more game to go. We have Gideon Harbor he could have played last week. We didn't play him very much, but he's running back. That's a real good young guy. And so we're excited about him. So kind of working that way through that. And I think that we will be able to, be pretty much full goal. You know, of course, Bryce Marquardt's not back, but, we came out last week pretty good.
Well, let's talk about last week's game for a moment. At one point in the game, Augsburg pulled within 5 points of you, and then Trey Anderson returns the point after for 2 points, and it seemed that really fired up your team, and you guys took control from that point.
Yeah, you know, they don't do that in high school and in the pros, but that is in college, that is a huge turnaround. You know, when you score, you know, and Tommy's did it to us, and it's just a backbreaker. Trey made a great play. Josh Dalty made a great play. He had the ball and he's stumbling a little bit, and you know, he looked around and was able to lateral it back to Trey, who happens to be the fastest guy probably out there. And so that helped. And then you kind of need to avoid, you know, all the excitement. Everybody's going every which way, and it's not something that you practice a real lot. And so you're kind of trying to avoid clipping somebody. And but it was a huge shot. It's a huge momentum thing. You know, it's a 3-point difference, really. So instead of 7, you get 6, and the other team gets 2. You know what I mean? So it's almost like, you know, he just kicked the field goal right after they scored a touchdown. So anyway, it is a big momentum deal, and I think it was important in the game. I don't think we felt like we were not in control, but there were, you know, it was just it was a neat lift to kind of get us rolling. So
what is that like on the sideline when you give up the touchdown, then all of a sudden your guy's going back the other way to get 2 points for you?
Well, yeah, it's demoralizing for Augsburg, and it's you know, we're like, it instead of kind of thinking, okay, let's get a good run back, and you know, because we still have an opportunity for that, you know, you gain, it's an exciting play, you get 2 points, and you're getting the ball. You know, they're kicking to you, too. And then, you know, if you kick to Joel Konecki, which we were surprised that they did, and then he takes it back to their 40, and he's just doing a great job. And, you know, and I know on our kickoff return, it's a body of work, and it's a group of guys doing the deal, but Joel just really has a nice knack, and he finds that seam, boom, he's got deceptive speed. So it really was it's kind of a game changer and at least a momentum changer for that time. And you know, all football games have that in it, but that one is just kind of like you're saying, it's a little more obvious and a little more, exciting and, you know, even demoralizing for the other team.
Cameron Monson records 2 sacks and recovers 2 fumbles for you on the day. Talk a little bit about what his impact was for you.
Cam is he is really playing great football, and he's been a consistent player for us all year. And our defensive line coach is AJ Parnell. He calls it the boneyard, and those guys, they are just workaholics, and they are tough guys with happy hearts. Our defensive linemen are, they're just having a blast. And Kyle Kilgore has been the player of the week, even nationally, a couple weeks in a row. And then they have the other end, and they're doing the same thing. And, they're all in that sucker together. And it's kind of like, you know, what we were just talking before, is is that whole unit. So, you know, Cam has been playing really well, and, you know, kind of the stats and some of the great things that happened for Kilgore. Now Kilgore, you know, he probably sets up, you know, they pay an extra attention to him, and that sets up Cam Munson for that. But the guy who's really anchored in the middle of that thing has been Trevor Hess, who's a nose guard, and he won't get the stats, and he's a stocky guy, and but man, has he been a leader, and he's the epitome of what we want here. He's a sweethearted tough guy. I mean, he is like, he's scary looking, and he's a tough kid, but he's got just an amazing heart, and he teaches young guys and encourages them, even if it, you know, feels like they're maybe taking his reps or whatever. It's just amazing the way they've grown together. And I that's one of the neatest things about football, is that in the midst of a whole bunch of heat, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, highs are high, lows are low, and sometimes it's disappointing more than you feel like you can take, but if you just kind of hang on to each other and love each other, it turns out to be something that just feels like magic.
Sam Gibbs continues to impress for you, and looks like he's going to be a huge point for you, or a huge success story for you for future success for the team.
Yeah, you don't know what the future holds. You know who holds the future, but Sam is a tough kid, and he works his tail off, and he can fly, and he's got great feet. He right now we're, you know, he's really physical, and he's not a big guy, but he's powerful, you know, but he's got great feet, and I just want him to make one more cut and get, you know, and get free. He had a lot of yards, and he had a decent average, but his longest gain was 10 yards, and he's the kind of guy that I don't think the other teams know how fast he is, because he hasn't broken any, you know, things for a long game, but he might be our fastest player, and he's just really explosive. And it's really kind of cool for a guy like that. A lot of times your fast guys are, you know, sometimes a little more foo-foo, and he's like, you know, he kind of just runs into people and over people, and it's, you know, part of his toughness and stuff like that. So he's growing for us, and it's really been exciting, because, you know, we knew he was going to be good, but we didn't know that we'd need him this fast, and he's really risen to the occasion, and so it really is exciting for the future.
Whose performances really stood out for you in this past week's game?
Again, Joel Konecki continues to impress. I felt like our offensive line did a nice job, especially Tommy Delacher, right guard, is playing well. Nolan Richardson, our center, is, you know, quietly just, he's the leader of that group, and he's a man. And Jack Fiedler, freshman right tackle, continues to amaze us. So those guys have been doing great. And then Drew Larson outside, Johnny Pitlack, some of those receivers are, along with Kennecke, they've been terrific all year. But, you know, some of their, I don't know, we're just growing so much right now. It's very exciting. You know, it's kind of a little bit bad to be, you know, kind of done right now, but it's exciting for the future, like you said, too. But, you know, maybe the biggest story is the defensive group is there. You know, we're, you know, close to leading the league in sacks, and we're pressuring the quarterback. They're playing with excitement and freedom, and they're really doing a great job. And so, you know, it's kind of a team effort. I can't really give you, you know, that many, you know, just areas. And I think Trey Anderson, you know, we feel like it, you know, we practice against him every day. We feel like he might be the best corner that we've seen in our league. And so that's exciting, you know, for things moving forward. And Dawson Brown. And I could go on and on.
You take on Hamlin this week. What are some keys that you see for the Royals this week?
Well, I think, you know, again, we need to be ourselves. We need to be Bethel. We need to be who we want to be. We need to have a strong running game. We need to be efficient in the passing game. We need to pressure the quarterback. Justice Spriggs is their quarterback, and he's a record setter for Hamlin already. He's only a junior, but they will flip it. And he's really a good player. and a big guy. And so, you know, we're kind of always, you know, part of our deal is we need to attack the source, and that's the quarterback. And so we need to pressure him and do a good job in coverage. And, you know, you're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna, you know, give him 0 yards, especially in the passing game. So you got to contain him and put pressure on him. If he makes a couple of mistakes, maybe we can pick one and take it home. So those are keys to the game. You know, we're going to control the ball on offense and get a good pass rush. And we need to, you know, need to be fundamentally sound and protect the football.
One guy I'm kind of impressed for on their team is Mitchell Madej, who seems like when he kind of gets himself going early, he's really difficult to stop. So do you focus on really trying to kind of slow down his momentum early on so he doesn't get in a rhythm?
Yeah, you know, you have to pay attention to him. He's not the biggest guy, but he's just got great feet and hands and leverage. And so he's really been a good player for him. And you know, they feature him, but they also move him around enough to, you know, to make you have to be aware of him. And so, you know, he's another guy that he does do some really good things, but he, you know, he helps the people around him too. And so it's important to, you know, to know where he is, but at the same time, we can't alter what we're doing, you know, to that situation. So
this is your last game for your seniors. What are some things that you say to them before this game, and what are some memories that you take away from this group?
Well, you know, every senior year, every year that, you know, we lose those guys, it's kind of like ripping out, you know, our hearts and theirs. And, you know, you put so much in, and, you know, there's a lot of the highs are high and the lows are low, and you do those together, and you know, a lot of those things just flood back. But, you know, my wife kind of prepares, because it's just it's a hard day. It's a hard day for me. It's exciting, but it's like I, you know, end up at the end of that thing hugging on all the guys and crying and stuff like that. And, you know, I've done it enough times that, you know, we know that life goes on, but it kind of feels like this is like the last last game for those guys is really, it's a hurt thing. And that's kind of because of what you said, is that they've given so much and they've gotten so much that their hearts are just full, and then it kind of ends up coming out of our eyes at the end of that thing. And on the same token, this is like, you know, we don't want to be like goofy, you know, seniors last game, you know, and get all sappy about it. This is a football game, and it's one of, you know, if they got to play in 40, or if we had some playoffs, you get a little more, but every game's precious. And it's the one thing about football is, if you're a basketball guy, you can play maybe not that level, but you can play basketball the rest of your life. Football, you're kind of, you're done, you know, and it's a little tougher deal, but the camaraderie that you built is a forever thing, especially when there's a base to it that's the foundation of the whole thing is in, not only in the game and in the comrades, but in the Lord. It's a big deal.
Well, let's head to fan questions this week. We first of all start with Mary, who says, I know a lot of people will be asking about next season, but how have you been impacted by this season and the performance of your team?
You know, I think in the middle of it, that's a good question. I don't know, you know, people are, you always have a, an idea, especially in my position. I have to always have kind of that, you know, picture of what's out there, and, you know, but what's recent history. But we have to live in the now, and you know, we've got plans for the future. But, you know, we are in the now, and as I evaluate this year, we will sit down as a coaching staff and kind of decipher each position with the intent of looking bad and what's good, what's what you learn, and what's next. And, you know, we're going to ask all of our kids that. But as coaches in our positions, what can we do better? What was really effective? And, you know, sometimes if you don't sit and think about those things, You can't really put those things together. And so this is really the time for that, because, you know, in February, you don't watch film the same way as you watch it, you know, in September, October, November. And so there's a lot of, this is, you know, people think that the end of the season is like, oh, you can take a break. And it's, I've often said that the month past, you know, behind the season is probably the busiest time of year, except for camp, you know, for me, because there's recruiting and evals and this is all the different things that happen. It's a busy time.
The never-ending schedule of Coach Johnson, for sure. Dan has two questions for you. He first of all asks, you've had so much success at Bethel, even winning titles and advancing deep into the playoffs. When you think about those teams that were so good, how close do you think this team is or the team that you will field next year in comparison to their level of play?
You know, I think that's a good question, because I thought about that. You know, there's some people that would be decently happy to be 500. We're 5-3 in the league, 2 years in a row, and it's a big disappointment for us. And at the same time, it's not so bad. We have 20. This will be the 20th. If we win this week, it'll be the 24th year, I think, in a row that we've had a winning record in the league, and nobody else has done that, including St. John's and St. Thomas. And so that's kind of a big deal, and that's a long good tradition. So then when you think about that, I think about some of those things. I had a youngster ask me, what's the difference? And, you know, sometimes somebody said the offensive line is here, and there's really some times when we won 12 games in a row in 2010, and we lost the first one. And but there were two games in there that we kind of won by the skin of our teeth and you know, kind of got a break. And, you know, the difference between, you know, 10-0 and 8-2 is slight. The difference between 8-2 and 6-4 is slight. And even now, you know, I mean, there's some stuff there that's going to be, you know, we're pretty excited for next year, to be honest with you. We're going to return our entire offense, plus add a guy who is, you know, our best offensive lineman, Mason Dietrich. He'll be back, and then Brady Bomster, our main running back. And so all of a sudden, now we've got 10 games of great experience, and a great quarterback, and even guys underneath that people don't know about that are up-and-coming really good players. So we're going to return everybody there, and their defense is growing like crazy, and we return almost all those guys, a couple key kids there. But, you know, next year, you know, I really feel like, you know, there's no guarantees, but some of those little differences, you know, can be made up by some things that, you know, we've just learned. Our staff is new, so we're going to have a whole year of, you know, our defense will be better at it. So, good question. It's an exciting thing. It's not something you want to sit around and dwell on, because it's like ESPN. You got to, you know, go to work. But my hopes are really high, and you know, we want to live day to day and be the guys that we decide that we want to be with the guidelines of the Lord in mind, and we want to have great effect on one another. And you know, I believe that translates to victories, but sometimes it's not on the field. But we just, yeah, that's the faith piece.
I would think too, because this group is staying together, and because offenses are really something that need to be in sync, that the chemistry for next year should really be something you're excited about.
It really is, and there's each team has its own particular. You know, I've been asked in the last few years about you know, how do you stay somewhere so long, and one of the reasons is I. You know, every year is different, and every, you know, the chemistry is huge, and, you know, it's never bad, but it's never, you know, and you can't say the chemistry is better, you know, the chemistry is always better when you win, you know what I mean, that's good, but I want our chemistry to be great if we're not good, and the beauty of what we do have right now is that we got a group of guys that really love each other, they're committed to the game and one another. And you know, I'm just super excited at every level for all of our stuff.
Dan would also like to know if you feel that you are ready to challenge a St. Thomas and a St. Thomas and a St. John's next season and win the conference.
You know, I mean, we go into every game one at a time, and that's a good. I mean, that's a good question. I can't answer it without. Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy answer to, you know, and say, oh, yeah, we're going to kill him, and that'd be kind of stupid to say. Or, as I say, no, they're just that good. You know, we feel like we played St. John's really well, and, you know, it really is about when you play somebody, you know, everybody can beat anybody on any given day. You know, I mean, we're heavily favored against Hamlin this weekend. It doesn't mean that we're going to win or lose, but you know what we've taken from, you know what we've got. We feel like, you know, we feel like we are always in the mix. You know, and I feel like even including this year, you know, we lost our first game, had a pretty tough injury that hurt us, and made some mistakes. Lost first game in double overtime, and then had devastating injuries the ensuing week, and so we didn't start out like we would want to. And then a huge, super huge game is Concordia, and you know we didn't have, you know, we were trying to get fixed. You know, we hadn't we had 40% of our offensive, or well, 60% of our offensive line was new, and we learned a lot, and so that was tough. And so moving on from there, that's what you do. And so, you know, to just pick those two games out, we gotta compete our guts out every day, every week in, week out, and see what happens there. But I mean, it's obvious to that we know that that's who we want it to be. The last 15 titles have been split between the Johnnies and the Tommies in Bethel, and we want to be in that thing. And you can't just say that; you gotta win some games. So. We're going to be poised to get after it. Our schedule is different, and it's new, and it's good, and exciting. So, you know, there's a lot of things to look forward to.
Beth says, so many focus on wins and losses, but she just wants to thank you for the way that you've helped their sons to grow as young men.
Hmm. That's awesome. And, you know, that's kind of the joy of our lives, you know, together, both the coaches and the kids. And that's a neat thing, because they grow me too and they grow us, and because we're in this thing together, and the highs are high and the lows are low. And unfortunately, I'm kind of the same way. The wins and losses are, you know, they're waiting. So I'm in it with everybody to where, you know, losses affect me too much. And I usually celebrate wins for about 6 seconds, and I kind of don't want to be that way. But I also, you know, that's what you do. You know, highs are high and lows are low, but God is good, and let's keep walking, because we are loved, and here we go.
Andrew asks, he says, do you think how well the Vikings are doing this season is misleading, or are they really that good?
Boy, at that level, like I was just talking, there's the difference between winning and losing in the NFL is ridiculously keen. You know, I mean, for Cleveland to lose all their games, everybody thinks they stink. Well, there's some of the greatest athletes in the history of the world are on that team. So it's like, I think that the Vikings have a good chemistry, and I think they have a great defense, and I think that that's a huge formula to be in any game. And I think they're for real. I think that Taysom, the team, whatever his name is, their quarterback is good, you know, and I love how he leads. I love how he, he's efficient, and I think that he's tough. And so I think they're really good. And if they, you know, I was a little bit, concerned for him when they lost the running back out of Florida State, because he's something else. But it seems like McKinnon and Murray have done a great job to get that back.
Amanda would like to know, she says, Coach, didn't you say that you live near the Viking Stadium? I would figure it has to be totally crazy for you during Super Bowl week.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that. We live right there, just a block away, and go out on the balcony and see it. But even now, my wife and I, like after church and stuff, when they have a game, we take a lap and kind of look at the fun atmosphere and all the weird people. So it's pretty fun to live down there. I think Super Bowl would be crazy. We lived down there at the All-Star game when that was at Target Field a while back, and that was a lot of fun too. Just the whole week, you could be outside more, obviously, in the summer, but that was really fun to just have, all the excitement of the big time stuff going on.
Well, I'm sure you're welcome to be outside during the Super Bowl too, if you'd really, really like to be. But
yeah, I don't think there's going to be anybody out there with me.
Stan would like to know, he says, I think the biggest mistake that the Cubs made this year was letting Dexter Fowler get away. What are your thoughts?
Hey, I love Dexter Fowler. I just think he's a terrific guy, and he's a God guy. He's a tough guy, and I agree. He's a guy that he had some at bats that he just made the pitchers, throw a bunch of pitches. He's just a great competitor there. I think it was probably a mistake. Yeah, I don't know. You can't say his stuff, but. Probably a mistake having Schwarber lead off all that early stuff, and then he ends up hitting about 190. So I think that Albert Elmore is the kind of guy that can be, that toughness guy for him. But I missed. I understand why they'd let him go, but I missed Dexter Fowler.
Jan would like to know what stories from the Bible inspire you the most.
I wasn't prepared for that one. I'm kind of, the parables are, it's not, I guess they're not so inspiring, but parables, but also the Beatitudes, blessed are the broken is, that's my life verse. It's like, you've broken down to needing. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I think that, the idea of you got to die to live, just like Jesus, he died so we could live and run. And I think about that a lot in your life. If you don't die to some stuff, then you can't live. And so you gotta give up. You got to give up some crud. So that you can have life, because we get entangled by sin and even bad thinking and stuff like that, and it just ties us up. And I think our world is, crazy right now, and it's confusing and distracting, and we kind of can get off base. And so it seems like, when you get broken down to where you're kind of seeing that I can't do this, I need to rely on the King, that's when your blessings ensue, and it's like, wow. So I don't know. I don't guess that's not a story, but
it's a good thought though.
Yeah.
So to close out this week, what are we praising the Lord about and saying hallelujah anyhow too?
Well, praising the Lord that you get to have a fun game this week and celebrate the seniors going and getting to play and stuff like that. Hallelujah anyway, it's about 19 degrees outside. So
that's cold. Well, thanks for joining us this week, cold. Coach. Appreciate this.
All right, thank you, buddy. Okay, right. Love you.
We want to thank Coach Johnson for joining us on Quick Slants this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Bethel coach, please send them to us at stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Quick Slants.